No, we had a packed out second service, our confirmation service, and we had 9 students confirmed this morning. I'd like to take just a moment right now to pray for them. This is a picture up here of them Wednesday night when they came and presented their papers, their final papers, to their teachers and parents and grandparents, everybody that gathered. They shared their words of their memorization words and so forth. It was a good evening, and then we got to have cake, so that's always a winner. Let's pray for them right now. Lord God, we thank you for our confirmation students, and we thank you for the gift it is for us as a church to be able to pass on the faith. We thank you for those who have come before us, who have taught us, who invited us to come to church, who told us some of the stories. We thank you, Lord, for those who through the centuries have been encouraging the next generation in faith. And we thank you, Lord, that we're here because people did that. Help us, God, to do that for the generations that follow us. God, grant us the grace to be a part of that train of witnesses, teaching and encouraging faith. And God, encouraging one another, as we were just singing, to walk by faith today and every day you give us. Thanks for these confirmation students. May this day be yet another big step for them forward on that path. Not the end of a journey, but God, really a beginning for the rest of their lives, that they may grow and live out your good purpose in their lives. Help us now as we listen to your word. Help us now to hear that we might live our lives by faith. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So confirmation each year is it's a big deal for Salem. I love the tradition that we have here, and we actually have a 3-year confirmation program. So if you're new to Salem, not sure about that, or maybe you came from a church that didn't have confirmation, it's not something real strange. It's actually just a wonderful opportunity in which we focus our attention on these 6th, 7th, and 8th graders and have the opportunity to teach in a very focused way in 6th grade the Old Testament, 7th grade the New Testament and some church history, and then in 8th grade, that's the year I spend the most time with the students, we get to talk about how the scriptures and the Old and New Testament, the teachings of the church, how that all kind of integrates into their own lives, how it can make a difference. What are the basics of the faith that we have, and how do you live that out? So by the time we come to today, I'm asking them, are you ready to say, I really believe in Jesus? I really want to follow Jesus. And I'm thankful that each one of the students this morning said yes. And what I said to them, and I want to say to you, is I remember being a teenager. I remember being around their age, maybe just a little bit older. I'd grown up in a Christian home, so we'd prayed, my parents and I, my grandmother and I, we'd prayed. I would pray before bed. I prayed around the table, went to church. I'd even committed my life to Jesus, watching a Billy Graham crusade on TV with my mom, my grandmother. Afterward, I said, Mom, I want to invite Jesus into my life, commit myself to Jesus, whatever the language was. And so we knelt down and I prayed. But I remember asking my mom one time, years later, was that really an amazing experience for you to kneel with your son and hear him pray a prayer of dedicating his life to Jesus? And she said, yeah, it was wonderful. But the time I remember the most, the thing I think was the greatest, was when as a teenager you recommitted your life to Jesus. You know, that's what I remember too. It's the day when I was listening to a speaker, and he talked about how, like a car driving down the road, if we're holding on to the wheel, we end up crashing along the way. We get off track. We go in the wrong directions. We get ourselves into trouble again and again. But if we hand over the wheel to Jesus, he will lead us on the best path for our lives. You can trust him to do that. And so he asked, are you ready to give Jesus the wheel of your life? Another illustration he used that has really stuck with me was an illustration of a dresser of drawers. You know, all these different sized drawers in it. He said, maybe you've actually committed your life to Jesus. You said you wanted to follow him, but you're hanging on to some of the drawers in that dresser of your life. And tonight's the night to give him all of those drawers, to say, Jesus, I've been hanging on to this, but I give it to you. I've been, you know, letting you be in charge of these parts of my life, but I want you to be in charge of my whole life. In Psalm 66 today, well, I guess before I say that, just to say that doing that, giving him the whole dresser, changed my life. That was the beginning of the rest of my life. I feel like a plant that comes out, it breaks through the ground finally, and it begins to grow. And I look back, and I see how God's blessed me and enabled me to be a part of his work in the world, which goes far beyond what I ever imagined was possible. In Psalm 66, the passage of psalm reading for today, the psalmist talks about how great God is. He talks, as we have with confirmation, about these stories of how God has done these awesome deeds in history. He shares some of what God has done in his own life. And in the middle of it all, he talks about this idea of bringing all that we are and have to God. And so I want to invite you to listen in as I read the psalm. And listen in for some of those stories, some of those Old Testament stories of God's faithfulness, and for how he talks about how God even led him through difficult times, and how in the midst of that he keeps praising God. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great power, your enemies cringe before you. All the earth worships you. They sing praises to you. Sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He's awesome in his deeds among mortals. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There we rejoiced in him who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let the rebellious not exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You've tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out into a spacious place. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, those that my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fatlings with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for me. I cried aloud to him, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has given heed to the words of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. So do you hear those words of praise that keep on recurring throughout? Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. All the earth worships you. They sing praises to you. Or in verse 8, bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Over and over again, the psalmist praises God. And in the midst of it, he keeps saying, come and see what God has done. He's awesome in his deeds among mortals. And he points back to those stories of God's faithfulness where he parted the Red Sea and the people walked through on dry land, where they walked through the raging river of Jordan into the promised land. He calls them to look back at that. He also says, come and hear, you who fear God. And I will tell you what he has done for me. And I love that idea. I think of that as what we've done, what we try to do in confirmation, what I try to do here in church each week is to point to what God has done, the big stories, but also share some of the stories out of my own life and for us to share out of the stories of our own lives. And I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good in my own life. We need to hear those stories from one another. We need to hear those stories and be encouraged, not just by the stories in the scriptures, but the stories in our own lives. You know, for me, this psalm has been one of the most important throughout my life. I remember back when I was going through a really difficult time in my life, how I was walking with my dog and with God, talking to God, saying, Lord, I get that part about how you've tested us, how you've tried us as silver is tried. I get that part about how you've brought us into the net and you've laid burdens on our backs, about how you let people ride over their heads, how we have gone through fire and through water. Lord, I get it. Life is really difficult sometimes, and sometimes that period of difficulty can go on. Well, when I was a teen, it was for days or weeks, and as I've gotten older, sometimes those difficult times have gone on for months and even years of really working hard and not seeing, as I was saying to God that night, where's that spacious place you promised? You know, you're the good shepherd. You promised to lead us through that dark valley. I keep feeling like I'm walking through the dark valley, God. Where is that place of abundance that you promise? And I want to tell you this morning that that place of abundance is real, that God is faithful to his promises. The Israelites went through 40 years in the wilderness before entering into the promised land. And I went through a long period of challenge in my life before God brought me through to a better time in my life. I can look back at it and say God taught me so much through that testing, through that trial. I've grown as a human being. I've grown as a parent and as a husband, as a pastor because of that challenging time in my life. I thank you, God, for leading me through it and teaching me through it. And knowing that's given me confidence when I face yet again challenging times, because reality is life is difficult. For all of us, challenges come. I don't want to tell these confirmation students, and I don't want to pretend to anybody here that life is not difficult, that if you give your life to Jesus, suddenly everything's going to be easy and good. Life is difficult. But the promise of the scriptures and the experience of my own life and of others in our congregation and through history is that God is faithful and God is good, and we can trust him. We can walk by faith. We can trust him. And so in confirmation, I've really wanted to teach our students a few clear things. First of all is to know who God is. I want them to know, and I want us to know who God is, and to keep on remembering and getting more and more clear about this. That the God we worship on Sunday mornings is not just the God of our world, some God dreamed up in imaginations or out of our fears and anxieties. The God that we worship, I want you to know this, confirmation students and people here this morning, I want you to know that God is the God revealed to us in Jesus Christ. That's who God is. When we open up the Gospels and we read about Jesus coming to earth as a servant, as a person who loves other people, who offers forgiveness, who offers grace, who offers encouragement, who offers challenge, that's the God that we worship. I want you to know that. That God loves you so much that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God loves you. I want you to know. I want you to remember the stories of God. I want you to remember who God is. I want us to remember the story of Joseph that we've talked about in Sunday school and we talk about in confirmation class, how this man was blessed by God, called by God, and yet went through difficulty after difficulty. People let him down. They sold him into slavery. They threw him into jail. And yet time after time, he trusted God. He was faithful to God. And he experienced God's faithfulness to him. I want them to remember that. I want us to remember so that we keep walking by faith no matter what happens. I want our students to come to trust God. I want us here in this room to come to trust God. That's my heart's desire, is that we would not only know God's love, that we'd not only remember that God loves, but that we would trust God's love. As we see opportunities and as we see challenges before us, that we would trust God. And then, and I really want this to get through to our students and to every one of us here this morning, I long for us trusting in God to bring the best that we can to God in worship, in thanksgiving. I want us to present ourselves, as Paul says in Romans chapter 12, after he's laid out the mercies of God and how God's worked through Jesus and through history. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable. This is your spiritual worship. This is what it means to give yourself to God. You know, the way the psalmist puts this, having talked about God's faithfulness, how he brings us out to the spacious place, he says, I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, those that my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fatlings with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. I mean, he kind of lists every possible animal he can come up with, because he said, I'm going to give you it all. This is not a sin offering. This is a thanks offering. Just based on the mercy, the goodness of God, I just want to give you everything I can think of, including, he kind of develops the list to bulls, the biggest and the best of them all, the sacrifices. He wants to bring the best that he can to God. And that's what God invites us to do this morning. Ever since that day back as a teenager, my heart's desire, having experienced the love and the grace of God, my heart's desire is to see others take that step of faith, to give themselves fully, wholeheartedly to God, to bring the very best of who they are and what they can bring to God and say, God, it's yours. I'm yours. Do with me. Do with my life what you want to do. For me, it gets back to that dresser of drawers. That for some of us here this morning, I don't doubt that you're like me, still struggling to give God the whole of who you are and what you have. And so I want to invite you for a few moments to think about, to pray about, what is it that you've been holding back from God? What is it that this morning God invites you, says, just lay that before me, give it to me so that I can transform it and I can transform you? Maybe it's the worries and anxieties, the fears that you've kept in that little drawer. Maybe it's that big drawer, you know, full of anxiety and fear. The Apostle Peter says, cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And maybe today's the day for you to take that drawer of anxieties, fears, say, God, here they are. Here it is. Help me, please. Maybe what you've been holding back on with God is some sin that you've been secretly just clinging to, and you keep struggling with it. It keeps recurring, and you're just not sure whether you want to or whether you can be free of it. And God says to you this morning, pull out that drawer and just give it to me. Be done with it. Let me forgive you, and let me free you to live the life that only I can enable you to live by the power of my Holy Spirit. Bring your sins to God and pray for forgiveness and pray for the freedom you long for. Maybe for some of us, it's our time or our abilities. You know, we think that we've got all these abilities to use for our own purposes, to earn a living, to make it in the world. It's time to say, God, I give you my abilities. Would you use them for your purposes? Help me to become a part of what you want to do in the world. Because abilities are a terrible thing to waste on just yourself, on your own little dreams. Open your abilities, open up your time, open up your resources, open up your life to what God dreams of doing in you and through you. I long to see us more and more walking that life of faith, following Jesus, presenting our whole selves to him, every little drawer, giving it to God. Because I got to promise you, based on the stories of the scriptures, come and see what God has done. I want to tell you, based on the stories of my own life, come and listen, all you who fear God, I'll tell you what he's done for me. God has blessed me beyond anything I could have dreamed as I've given myself again and again more and more by the power of his Spirit to him. I don't do it perfectly. I've still got a long way to go. But God is faithful, and I want you, I long for you to experience that joy in your own life. Give yourself wholeheartedly, fully to God. Bring the best that you can, all that you have, and lay it before him this morning. I promise you, God will do with you and with all that you give him abundantly far more than all you could even ask or imagine today, to his glory, to your good, and to the good of this world God loves so much. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for the stories of your people through the eons, and for the stories of your faithfulness to them. Thank you, Lord, for those all the way back to Abraham who stepped out to walk by faith. Thank you that we are blessed because people have done that. Help us to do that today, that we might experience the full blessing that you offer and be a part of passing on that blessing to one another, to our world, and to the generations that follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.